I'm Les Sillars, professor of journalism at Patrick Henry College. Today I'm pleased to bring you a story that appeared in The Herald, our student newspaper, on February 19th. It's about a friend and colleague, PhC literature professor Steve Hake. It's written by one of our journalism majors, Elizabeth Russell, and it's headlined, Your Wife, Faye. To my dear, beloved husband of almost 43 years. You are trying to sleep right now behind me, fully clothed in your work attire on a noisy, crunchy, plastic coach several feet shorter than you are. You are here with me in the hospital after a very long, hard day full of all kinds of stress, sacrificing, trying with all that is in you to serve me and to help me. It's a very appropriate picture of your life as my husband these many years. He knows the words well by now. They bring back so many memories, raising 9 children, years of missionary work in Taiwan, countless hikes and adventures and books read aloud in the evenings. The letter is creased and worn from many readings. He doesn't know when she wrote it, exactly, but it must have been only a week or so before the end, before November 21st, 2018, when cancer overwhelmed her body and sent her on ahead to God. Steve and Faye Hake. Both of their names are etched into the headstone at his feet. They were not meant to be apart. Every month since her death, he has driven out to the cemetery to sit beside her in an old camp chair, reading her letter, reading his Bible, praying, remembering. Today marks 1 year since her death. Here, among the cemetery's bare trees and rolling hills, in the quiet and the cold, he has come to keep vigil with her. He will stay near her all day and all night. It's November 18th, 2018. The Hakes' small house, tucked into the rolling hills of West Virginia, is full of people. Thanksgiving is coming up in a few days, and the whole family has gathered to celebrate. The living room overflows with grandchildren and games. Faye spends most of her time in her bedroom, slipping in and out of a medicated sleep. She's declining rapidly, and they all know it. But no one says anything. Faye never wants to talk about death. Ever since she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer in May 2014, she's been fighting and planning and questioning the doctor's grim diagnosis. She's so optimistic and full of life. It simply isn't in her nature to accept the statistics. Only 22% of patients with stage 4 breast cancer live longer than 5 years after the diagnosis. But Faye is determined to be in that 22%. If she can just gain a little strength, she can start another round of chemo, hold on a little longer. But Steve has known for a long time that she is dying. Months ago, he began researching natural burials and chose a cemetery that allowed them. He bought a Walmart flat sheet to use for the shroud and coils of hemp rope to lower her with. He asked his son-in-law Joel to carve the headstone, a smooth gray river rock taken from a property they'd loved. He can almost bear it if they do it all themselves, if they make sure it's done right. He even chose the hymns for her funeral, but he's never been able to tell Faye any of it. Steve's oldest son, Jesse, pulls him aside. Have you asked Mom about everything? Is she okay with it? I don't know if I can, he admits. So Jesse goes into the bedroom, alone, to confront his mother with her death. A few minutes later, she shuffles out into the kitchen. The room is crowded with children and grandchildren. Everyone is laughing. They're making her an egg salad sandwich with pickles on top, some family joke. She laughs about the sandwich with them. When the laughter dies down, she speaks quietly. Jesse told me about everything, and it's okay. It's very still. Then the jokes and laughter begin again, and that is all. But it's enough. Faye was taken to hospice yesterday and slipped away quietly this morning, sometime just after sunrise. Steve spent the night on the floor, lying beside her bed. Now he and his children are bringing her home. Somehow they get her body into the back of an old van. When they reach home, 4 of the boys gently roll her onto blankets and begin carrying her inside. Steve walks with them, at her head. They wonder if the front or the back way is fastest. They choose the back door, but the room they are carrying through is full of boxes and old furniture from a move. A table leg sticks out too far, and they wait in strained silence while one of the girls rearranges the furniture. Someone breaks into nervous laughter. It's strange and sad and comical, and Steve wonders, are we doing this right? He doesn't know, but it helps that they're doing this together. The vast wilderness of loss is not uncharted. It only feels that way. He clings to that moment in the kitchen, to her voice saying softly, it's okay. Steve knows that Faye is not here anymore, but the body still feels like her. So they dress her in her favorite clothes and drape her in her favorite blue and brown blanket. They fill the bedroom with flowers and prayers and readings from her favorite Bible passages. Someone is always in there with her, holding her hand. Her hands are cold. Under her are 25 pounds of dry ice to keep the body from decaying. But the pain is gone from her face. Her gray-brown hair has been smoothed back from her full cheeks. She looks almost like she did in college. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and Steve is mostly numb with the strangeness of it all, like an amputation. But a weary thankfulness washes over him, gratitude that at least they can honor her. At least they can say goodbye like this. 2 days later, Steve and his sons are digging her grave. The morning is cold. They take turns, shovels biting into the deep red soil and heaping it up on either side of the grave, 4 feet deep, 6 feet long, and 2 feet wide. It's hard work, but it feels good to do it themselves. He needs to know what it will be like for her. Struck by a sudden impulse, he lies down in the grave. Staring up at the pale blue sky, he thinks, one day this will be me, next door. A year later, night is falling as Steve sits beside the grave. He can still make out the pale letters on the headstone that read, Steve and Faye Hake. Cancer now runs through his body, too. How long before he is laid next to her? Steve doesn't know, but he's not afraid. It's okay. He hopes that when his kids dig his own grave, they scoot him over, right next to her. As dusk falls, he lies down beside her, huddled in an old sleeping bag. He stares up into the cloudy night blue sky, and her words come back to him. I'm getting very sleepy and fuzzy with pain medicine now, at 1:19 a.m. in this hospital bed. You are snoring peacefully behind me, if not comfortably, on that couch. I hope to have a few more days, weeks, or months, if not years, possibly, to hear and enjoy your snoring that I sometimes flipped you over to avoid. I will quit now. I love you, Steve. I can't wait to bow down together before God someday, and afterwards, to express our gratitude. Thank you for the lovely long hike. I love you, Steve. Your wife, Faye.